The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin and Resveratrol Omega. Temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains. Temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains. And you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95. Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt, inside the Beltway. Good Tuesday morning to you. And RIP, rest in peace, Walter Mondale, the former vice president of the Democratic Party in 1984, dead at the age of 93. As Minnesota remains in the news, the state that he loved so much and represented so well is on edge as they wait collectively, as the country waits for the verdict in the Chauvin trial for the murder of George Floyd. Three charges are filed against Officer Chauvin: second, third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. If I were to guess, I would guess, I've seen just snippets and read Andrew McCarthy, it will be a second-degree manslaughter conviction, but I didn't watch much of the trial, so that's really more of a back-of-the-hand guess than anybody. I want to say about Walter Mondale, genuinely good guy, center-left, old-school Democrat, the kind that didn't scare me when they were in charge of the nation's defense, Jack Kennedy Democrat, Hubert Humphrey Democrat, and wouldn't have destroyed the military-industrial complex the way that President Obama did and the way that it appears Joe Biden will be doing. Vice President Biden served with him and campaigned with him. President Biden served with him and campaigned with him, and I'm sure is missing his old friend today. I also want to run down some stories and then come back to one. A fifth of America's seniors remain unvaccinated. Now, I'm going to bring this up a few times during the show. This is on everybody to call grandma and grandpa. Hey, Harley, come over to the thing here. Did your dad get vaccinated?
Yes.
Yeah. How about your fiance's grandma and grandpa?
All of them. Yep.
You checked everybody over the age of 65 in your household.
Everyone's accounted for, including my brothers.
Okay. Good. Well, you're the guy who fixes my TV and makes it work whenever I can't work that. So I'm thinking of all the people who are even ancient than I am, people who are in their 80s and can't not only work the cable box, but they don't know how to get there. So we need young people to get your grandma and grandpa and great aunts and great uncles and the old folks that you know at church and everybody out in the community. A fifth of them are not vaccinated. I cannot understand that. My guess is it's a technology deal and they cannot figure out the sign-up system. I figured out the sign-up system, so it's not that hard, but you still got to give them a ride. You got to get out there and get going. This is for you, Dwayne. Strains, sprains, and pinched nerves. Injuries at home are on the rise. This is from people who try and do things at home that they shouldn't. Dwayne is trying to build a backyard, and so I'm just letting you know that the Wall Street Journal has your number, Mr. D, in terms of stuck at home. We've taken on projects and have been climbing ladders, painting walls, and using tools. I myself never do such hazardous things, but Dwayne's been working in the backyard, and I'm worried about you, Dwayne. This memo in, ICE and the CPB have been told to stop using the terms illegal alien and assimilation under a new Biden administration order, according to the Washington Post. The Customs and Border Protection Agency and Immigration and Customs Enforcement may no longer use the term illegal alien. Now, I personally don't like that term, and I use undocumented person, people without in the country without legal permission to be here, et cetera, but it's hardly worth official policy, and I don't know what's wrong with assimilation. Assimilation is a good thing. We're not the Borg. Well, I am the Borg, but we're not the Borg. We just assimilate radio stations. We don't assimilate people. The country does assimilate immigrants, though, and we've always been proud of that. Interesting story on why the authorities did not try to use the red flag in Indianapolis for the gunman who killed 8 at FedEx. And it is a story about a flawed bit of thinking by the city here. They were afraid they would lose the red flag case and have to give the shotgun back that they took from the killer when his mother thought he was about to kill himself. And the prosecutors considered his immediate health crisis, and they worried that they wouldn't be able to persuade a judge that they should keep the weapon. Now, that is, to me, an admission that they ought not to have taken the weapon. Now, it seemed to me they should have taken the weapon, and they should have gone to the judge, because that's what a red flag is for. You want the judge, there's a constitutional right involved, and you want the judge to oversee whether or not you are taking the weapon appropriately. And I hope they learn from this everywhere in the country. It is not right to be using red flag authority and then not testing it before a judge. I don't approve of that. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who died during the January 6th insurrection, suffered 2 strokes that day and died of natural causes. He was not killed, even though he was sprayed by demonstrators. He was not killed by demonstrators, and I think that's important to catch up on. Image of the Queen grieving alone prompts calls for Britain to revise its COVID funeral restrictions. I should think so. At this point, we don't need any funeral or wedding restrictions. We need common sense on behalf of those people you send invitations to. Don't go if you're not vaccinated, or you can put a little note, please don't go if you're not vaccinated, and then leave it up to free people to decide. Secretary Blinken, Secretary of State in the United States, says U.S. must lead green energy revolution to combat China. Look, this is hardly the number one priority in combating China. Taiwan's looking at this and saying, what about us? And the Philippines and Japan saying, nice that you're worried about losing the green energy revolution, but we'd like some planes and submarines, please. Hey, anytime they notice that we're in a struggle with the Chinese Communist Party is a good day. Why is the chip shortage so hard to overcome comes right after we talk about green energy, and that might be connected. This from the Wall Street Journal. The world's leading suppliers of semiconductors are pushing to overcome the prolonged chip shortage that has hampered production of everything from home appliances to PCs to autos. Had lunch yesterday with a financial planner who's a friend of the Nixon Library, telling me that Taiwan Semiconductor and Intel are both building giant semiconductor plants in Arizona. Way to go, Doug Ducey. He's in tier 1C with presidential candidates. And if he gets that Intel plant built, he'll be up in 1B. We need chips, and we need to make them in the United States. Very good old Cold War story. Accusations of spying and sabotage plunge Russian-Czech relations into the deep freeze. Now, during the first Cold War, Czech was on the other side, Czechoslovakia. Now it's the Czech Republic. And now they're mad at the Russians for blowing up stuff in Czechoslovakia. The Russians are bad people. Now, here's my story. And by the way, I don't have a clock, Mr. Dwayne. Is he out there working on his backyard? Did he come in today? I'm just wondering, because I don't have a clock. A big thing happened in Europe yesterday. Big thing. 1-800-520-1234. And I have a bet with my audience via Twitter. 1-800-520-1234. A Super League emerged. A Super League, not like a superstar or a superhero, a Super League of soccer teams. And I think they're calling it Super League. The super clubs have called in the lawyers. The president of European soccer has responded, calling the team's leaders snakes and liars. The fans want no part of it. The pitch battle to pursue or prevent a breakaway European soccer Super League started to take shape on Monday, hours after the stunning announcement late Sunday night by 12 of the sport's richest and most popular teams that they were forming a Super League. The plan threatens to redraw the European soccer economy from rich clubs in the Premier League to tiny ones in every corner of the continent and funnel billions towards a handful of wealthy elite teams. It would represent one of the biggest wealth transfers in sports history, imperil the future of marquee events like the Champions League, and threaten the existence of domestic leagues and the smaller clubs that were left behind. What's it going to do to Ted Lasso is what I'm worried about. Nevertheless, okay, so that's the story. Does anybody in America care? How important is it in Europe? Prince William weighed in. Future King of England. I share fans' fears for the future of football. Say that five times. I share fans' fears for the future of football. The Duke of Cambridge says the European Super League risks damaging English game as the government turns against it. Super League rebels shift the goalpost of European football, says the Financial Times. This is really the big story over there. UEFA, UEFA, is that how you say it? I don't know. Their head of president turned to Andrea Agnelli, a scion of Italian billionaire dynasties that owes the Turin-based Juventus. I don't even know how to say these. I can say Manchester United. The Super League has rocked global football. And does anybody care? 1-800-520-1234. I speculated last night I might get crickets on this story in the United States, but the economics of it are very interesting. I'll be right back. Plus, wood pellets everywhere. A very interesting story in the New York Times about the wood pellet industry. Maybe Dwayne could turn his backyard into a wood pellet stove. We'll be right back, America. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. Al Stewart also going to be at the Birchmere. I like Al Stewart. Maybe I'll go see Al Stewart when he comes. Not sure the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt's an Al Stewart fan. Joe Manchin, Senator Joe, did a tele-town hall yesterday about West Virginians and why they vote Republicans. Listen to this, Cut 18.
People asked me one time, they said, what happened to West Virginia? How come West Virginia's changed from a Democrat state to a Republican state? How did that happen in the quickest amount of time that we've ever seen? I said, I can tell you how West Virginia feels. We feel like the returning Vietnam veteran. We've done every dirty job you've asked us to do. We never questioned. We did it and performed well. And now all of a sudden, we're not good enough. We're not clean enough. We're not green enough. We're not smart enough. You want to know why they quit voting for Democrats? That's the reason.
That's exactly. The entire country knows that a handful of elite Democrats think they're morons and run the nation's news media. And that's why, by the way, CNN's ratings are in the tank, and why most of media is suffering is because most of America has great contempt for people who have contempt for them. Polk County, Florida Sheriff Grady Judd yesterday, when Ron DeSantis, the governor, signed an anti-riot bill, he said this, Cut 19.
I've got something I want you to see. This is what we enjoy in Florida. This is the Florida we know and love. This is what our governor, our speaker, our president. This is what all these law enforcement officers and administrators and sheriffs and police chiefs and their officers do every day. They guarantee an environment where you can come here and have fun. Heck, you can even have more fun. Here's another picture. This is the Florida we know and love. We're a special place. And there are millions and millions of people who like to come here. And quite frankly, we like to have them here. So we only want to share one thing as you move in hundreds a day. Welcome to Florida. But don't register to vote and vote the stupid way you did up north. You'll get what they got. There's a reason that this place is fun. There's a reason why we have a 49-year low crime rate. And the same people that don't think we should have an anti-rioting bill or a rioting bill are the same ones that think we ought to let more people out of prison. And where they're doing that, as the governor and our speakers have alluded to, crime goes up. But it's not just crime that goes up. Victimization goes up. The people in those states are hurt and killed. And their livelihoods changed, and their children are changed.
That sheriff makes a lot of sense. Again, we're talking about Democrats moving to Florida. Don't screw up the state. Now, Ron DeSantis, speaking about the state, was on with Tucker last night and had this to say, cut number two.
It's definitely been a factor, for sure. And I also think the fact that Florida wasn't locked down like these other states, I think the lockdowns, you know, provided an impetus to be able, because people need an outlet to do things. And so I think some of these states like Minnesota, California, I think the fact that they were locked down and had the opportunity to go out and do stuff, I think that added fuel to the fire of what was going on. So I think the fact that we took a hard line on that, people understood Florida's a law and order state, but also that we were open, I think has been a huge factor in people moving to Florida.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis is very popular in Florida right now because he did keep it open and he did crack down on people who were demonstrating exuberantly beyond the law's permission. Ron DeSantis also said, why didn't we lock down, talking about what we do and don't do in Florida? Cut number three.
Well, I think early on, you know, I was just hungry for data. And so I was looking at South Korea, some Italy, and I'm trying to make sense of this virus. It seemed to me that this was something that was risky for elderly people.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like there was much risk in people, not just kids, but even people who were in reasonably good health, who were, say, under 50. But I didn't really have the proof of that in Florida. So when they did the 15 days to slow the spread and some of that stuff, you know, we followed that. Whereas I think if I had 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 more data, I would have had the ability to say, wait a minute, you know, why would we need to, you know, close a gym for 2 weeks? I mean, these are younger people going to work out. If you're healthy, you're going to end up dealing with the virus better. And so I think that it took me a few weeks, March and into April, to get enough data to say, okay, you know, we're not doing Fauciism. You know, we're going to make sure our state's open. We're going to get the kids back into school, and we'll just focus our protection on elderly people.
Fauciism. A new term. Now, it took him a few weeks because governor is a Yaley as opposed to a Harvard guy, and the governor took a few weeks. I mean, it was pretty obvious to see the kids were not. And we just had that study from Oxford. 150 minutes a week of exercise gave you a 250% better chance of not getting sick. And of course, former President Trump was out last night on Fox with Hannity, being very blunt per usual. Cut number four.
They would not stand for it, and they're playing it down as much as they can play it down. It's a horrible situation. Could destroy our country. People are pouring in, but you'll see something as the months go by like you've never seen before. Already it's like you've never seen before. There's never been anything like what's happened at our border. And people are coming in by the tens of thousands. They're walking in. All he had to do was leave it alone.
Now, he also talked about President Biden's record thus far, cut number seven.
And all of these things are good. These are popular things, but more important than popular, they're great things for this country. They're going to rip apart your Second Amendment. They're doing things to this country that Bernie Sanders would have said impossible. And I don't know if Joe knows what's going on with it, because I think you have a cabal. You have a group of people that are sitting around a table just saying, do this, do this, do this. They're giving them these things to sign. It's hard to believe. Now, we're going to take back the House in 22. We have a real chance.
And then he went on to talk about what he's going to do in 24, cut number five.
I miss the most helping people, because I can directly help people. That's why I did it. Look, this has been a very traumatic. I had a great life, great company, great business, no problems. And now all I do is people go after you. It's vicious. It's horrible. But you know what? I love doing it because I help people. And I've helped him more than any president with the cutting of taxes, with the regulations, with right to try.
You're proud
of
those.
How big right to try is?
Huge.
Where you don't have to travel to all sorts of different continents to try and get something. We have the greatest doctors in the greatest labs. We can use their medicines now. If somebody's terminally ill, they can sign a quick little document. You can use and that's had a huge thing.
What are you most proud of, though?
A lot of things. I'm very proud of the tax cuts. I hope they don't screw it up, because the jobs, you know, we brought back a record.
Up.
I think so. We brought back a record. Well, it's still not going to be as high as it was. You know, it was really 39%.
Right.
So it looks like it could be a 25%. I brought it down to 21. But I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of the, and very importantly, the regulation cuts. I'm very proud of what I did for the military. I've rebuilt the military, and I've added something called Space Force. It's going to be so powerful, so important. So I've added another, think of it, I've added to the military. It hasn't happened since, I guess, 75 years since the Air Force.
And the economy
pre-COVID. We've added
Space
Force.
Record low unemployment.
We had the greatest numbers in the history of the world. We had the greatest economy in history.
Don't forget judges.
We had the greatest economy. We had the greatest job numbers. We had the greatest.
Judges.
We're up to 160 million people. We were never even close to that. And if you think of it, I did it twice.
Judges and constitution.
Because then the whole world went down. We've come back stronger than any other country in the world. You know, they used to hit me with Germany and France and this and that. Well, they're doing terribly right now. They're all locked down. It's a disaster. They're having riots on their streets. This country is coming back strong. And it's very interesting. Places like Florida and Texas and many others. I mean, I could name many others. I think in almost all cases run by Republicans. I think in all cases. But They've done so well. And you look, I saw the other day, Michigan.
China.
I would say there's been nothing as close, other than for her husband, who was, you know, had free run of the place. I don't think that there's been any state more locked up than Michigan.
All right. The president's not listening to my cues, so I'm not going to help him out here. But really, China, Abraham Accords, judges, tax cuts, Operation Warp Speed. What more do you need? It's like the whole library. Joe Biden was out and about briefly in the Oval Office spray yesterday, cut 12.
Yes, I want to thank my colleagues. They're still my colleagues. I'm more of a member of Congress than I've been here. But I'm glad you all came down. We're going to talk about our infrastructure package. As I indicated earlier, I am prepared to compromise, prepared to see what we can do.
Retreat. There we go. That's what we wanted to hear. Prepared to compromise, America. That is the key term. Joined by David M. Drucker of the Washington Examiner. Follow him on Twitter at David M. Drucker. You'll also hear him on the Hugh Hewitt Show podcast. We always include the Drucker interview on the Hugh Hewitt Show, highly concentrated Hugh podcast. Hello, David.
Good morning, Hugh.
Prepared to compromise means he doesn't have 50 votes for tax hikes.
That's correct. And we've known that from the outset. Even his good buddy Joe Manchin doesn't want the corporate tax rate to go back up and to go to 28%. He'd like to see it go to 25%. So we know that was, we knew that was a fly in the ointment. We also have another fly in the ointment, though. There are many House Democrats that want to see the tax deduction for state and local income taxes reinstated for those states that have to pay an income tax, and that's most of them, but not all of them. They're drawing a hard line in the sand, at least for now, and Pelosi does not have the votes without them because she's got like a 4-seat majority. So,
and they don't want, by the way, let me add, they do not want stepped up basis to go away, because if you're from New York or California, whole swatches of people who own a normal house would get smashed by stepped up basis as elimination or an exemption of $1 million. So they're no dummies. They saw what happened to the Republicans when they got rid of the SALT, and they don't want to go the way of all former congressmen by getting rid of the stepped up basis. So I think they've got a big problem, David.
Yeah, they do. And look, the coalitions have been at least temporarily realigning. There are a lot of what I like to call working wealthy, very well-off people, but nonetheless have to work very hard to maintain it, who live in very expensive suburbs with very expensive homes and have lots of expenses. They did not like losing a portion of the mortgage deduction for homes that are over $1 million, which in these neighborhoods is, I mean, de rigueur. It's just what it is.
It's the west side of L.A. I don't know if there's any home in the west side of L.A. that's under $1 million.
Correct. And these people are now have been voting for Democrats over the past few years, are represented by Democrats. And so the Democrats in Congress have begun to reflect their constituency in this regard.
Now, let's also talk about Maxine Waters and the Chauvin trial. Did you hear the judge chew her out?
I did. Maxine Waters likes to speak provocatively. She did so again. And, we'll see what comes of it.
Now, Kevin McCarthy says he wants censure. That would require three Democrats to join with him. You think they get three votes to censure Maxine Waters?
So my general rule of thumb is on votes like these, majorities hold because leadership usually tells them, and this tends to be accurate, notwithstanding what she said, but usually says, look, this is the minority's way of trying to create a show vote and drive the agenda. And you can either fuel this by voting what you think is your interest and joining the minority in a vote like this, or you can suck it up, stick with the majority, vote no, and they'll realize these things don't work and it won't happen as often. And so I'm sure that's what Speaker Pelosi will tell her caucus, and we'll see if they respond that way.
Well, my theory is Chauvin is going to be convicted on manslaughter, so there won't be an unrest. And if I'm wrong and he isn't convicted, and if there is an addition to that unrest, which isn't a certainty, then Maxine's going to get censured. Because you can't go around throwing gasoline on fires like that. And I'm wondering as well, what did you think of Ron DeSantis on Tucker last night? Did you watch that?
I missed it, but it's only because I go to bed so early right now because I'm working on a project and I rise early.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You should be rising early. You're a young man. You should be getting out of bed at least before I do. And I am DeSantis is clearly running for president, as is Pompeo and Cotton and Chris Christie. And I'm not sure about Nikki Haley and Tim Scott. What do you hear on Tim Scott, by the way? Those are my top
both.
Six.
They're both running. Tim Scott's going to run. Nikki Haley's going to run. The members, the Republicans you just mentioned, are going to run. Ron DeSantis is enjoying a very nice moment. It's helping to sort of establish him in the field and on the national stage. I think the question for him is going to be whether he can take this momentum, roll it into reelection, which he should be able to do, but then build an actual organization. I think one of his weaknesses, and they all have weaknesses, every last one of them, is the ability to sort of develop an organization around him that's dependable, that's durable, that he doesn't decide to change out from time to time, because you need consistency in a presidential campaign if it's going to work. I think President Trump was the exception to this rule because he was a unique individual with unique name ID and a unique ability to work the media. And I don't think other Republicans, really any other politician other than a sort of well-known, famous outside of politics person that comes along once in a while, is able to do what he did.
You got to have a staff. You got to have a team. I know that Pompeo's got a good team. Cotton's got a good team. DeSantis just hired Phil Cox. I'm not sure about Senator Scott, though. I've always thought his team was good in the Senate. Nikki Haley seems a little bit adrift at this point, but we will see. David Drucker, always a pleasure, my friend. Chris Christie has a team that it's like the Mets. They got Francisco Lindor. I'll be right back, America. Hour number two coming up on the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
We've got to get more confrontational. Morning Glory America, I'm Hugh Hewitt, that's Maxine Waters. The judge is not happy, and Byron York of the Washington Examiner and Fox News is here to talk with me about it, and it will be included in the Hugh Hewitt podcast, Highly Concentrated Hugh. Good morning, Byron.
Good morning, Hugh. How you doing?
Good. Is Maxine Waters going to get censured for that?
No, I don't think so. Is because Nancy Pelosi runs the House. Easy enough, I think.
I think if there is a riot after an acquittal, she will get censured, but I think he's going to be convicted, so there's not going to be any kind of unrest, and therefore she won't get censured. But if they had a civil unrest, I think there would be hell to pay for Maxine Waters.
Well, there might be. I agree with you about the results of the trial. He's going to likely be convicted of something, in part because prosecutors have offered the jury this list of charges. They can, you know, if you don't want to convict him on this, convict him on this. If you don't want to convict him on that, convict him on that. So I think that there probably will be some sort of conviction. But, you know, this is kind of classic Maxine Waters. You remember when there was a kind of a vogue of harassing Trump officials or supporters at restaurants? Happened to Ted Cruz, happened to Kirstjen Nielsen, happened to Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Stephen Miller.
Basically, Maxine Waters went out and encouraged people to do more. I mean, whenever you see anybody associated with Trump, you know, give it to them. If you see him in a gas station, you see him in a shopping mall, you see him out, you know, go after him. This is kind of classic Maxine Waters.
It is, and it's just a badly timed thing for the Democrats, who are already kind of on their back foot on a lot of things. Wanted to ask you, Byron, before I go to politics, presidential politics, the Super League in Europe has roiled every European newspaper, of which I get a few and I read them in the morning. Super League rebels shift the goalpost of European football. Prince William has weighed in against it. Do you care? Does any American news outlet even run a story on this beyond the New York Times?
One word answer. No.
No. I thought, you know, I'm waiting to see if anyone wants to call. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is Brent Griffiths in his Business Insider newsletter this morning finally came up with a number of aid for in the Biden stimulus package. The giveaway to New York City is $5.6 billion. How is that going to play in the Arizona Georgia, New Hampshire Senate elections where Democrats are on their back foot?
It's not going to play well, especially when New York City is doing things like amounts to people who are undocumented, illegal immigrants, and just using this aid money in ways that are not permitted by or not done by the federal government.
You can't work for ICE or CPB anymore. There's a memo out. You cannot use the term illegal immigrant. Now, I've always preferred undocumented, since it is more comprehensive as to what we're talking about. But they have outlawed the use of illegal alien. So you're kind of outlawed, Byron.
This is interesting. I've always used the term illegal immigrant. And I decided after some press organizations went to undocumented that I would stick with illegal immigrant. And by the way, there was a congressional appearance by Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of Homeland Security. He was asked repeatedly, now, is it illegal to cross the border other than at a port of entry? And he had to keep saying, yes, it is. It actually is. It is. So I don't see anything wrong with that phrase, even though undocumented has taken hold. Now, you're the lawyer here. I believe in all the statutes, the references to aliens and illegal aliens.
Yes, it is. But you're not woke, Byron. I don't know if we're going to have to send you to woke awareness camp. Is there a summer camp for journalists to wake you up? Because you're not woke.
My last point was that I believe Democrats are trying to change the language in the statute to get rid of illegal aliens, which I don't use unless I'm quoting the law. But I think Democrats actually want to just sort of just erase that word from every reference in the United States.
When bereft of any serious policy ideas, go argue about the language. Now, Byron, let me talk to you about politics. Ron DeSantis did an appearance with Tucker last night. I don't know if you were in the green room over there last night. He was very good. I mean, he's a Yalie. We won't hold that against him, but he did go to Harvard Law. The front bench of the Republicans, which I think has Christiana, Cotton, Pompeo, DeSantis, Nikki Haley, and Tim Scott, the front bench. Maybe Doug Ducey climbs on that. I don't know. It's an awfully formidable front bench, but Ron DeSantis is an awfully formidable media presence.
He is. He's a good media presence in part because he's accomplished things as governor of Florida. I mean, you look at him and you listen to him speak, and you know that he has accomplished these things and gotten an approval rating up in the 60% in Florida after he was elected in a very narrow election. So that he's proved that as a governor, somebody who's governing, that he can appeal across the party. So I think, you know, what's going to be interesting is for many years, the political conventional wisdom is that parties prefer governors and voters prefer governors for president over senators. And that was true for a long, long time, up until 2008, when we had John McCain versus Barack Obama, one senator versus the next. And then in 2016, we elected a person who never served in any public office. So I kind of wonder if we're going to snap back to this idea that a governor, unlike a senator, can show you what he has done and how he has governed in the state. And the last thing is, you could have a very, very roiled situation on the Democratic side. I mean, President Biden has said it's his intention to run again. He'd be 82 years old. And there's going to be a lot of debate inside the Democratic Party. Maybe they don't want to talk about it a lot, but a lot of debate saying, do we want a president who's 86 years old?
He's not going to run again. I mean, honestly. Byron, let me ask you about – yeah, he's not. It's going to be a mess. But I have a theory on the top tier, which is to win the Republican nomination, you must have the willingness to engage in combat with the legacy media and the ability to embarrass them. And I mean, scorch them. And that's where Christie, Cotton, Pompeo and DeSantis have all shined. I believe I haven't seen Tim Scott scuff it up much with the media. I've seen him get angry on the Senate floor, but I haven't seen him scuff it up. I've never seen Nikki Haley do it at all. But I really think this is and by the way, it's not a Trump legacy. It began with Newt in the 2012 primaries, where the one thing that brings Republicans together is great, shared, deeply felt contempt for legacy media, which they hold for them. And have you seen CNN ratings? I mean, and Don Lemon's interview in the New York Times about the audience fading away. I just think if you're going to be the Republican nominee, you'd better be able to do what DeSantis did to 60 Minutes after 60 Minutes try to hit on him.
CNN ratings have absolutely plunged. Were they down 60%, more than that?
Yep.
I remember the Gingrich candidacy in 2012. You're right, he did. There was some really, really bad reporting on him, I believe, at CNN.
John King. Yep.
And he confronted them. There was a debate in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, I remember, actually. Really very, very effectively did that. Now, you did mention the name Trump, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what role it sounds like you believe, as I believe, that former President Trump will not run in 2024. But he is going to be a factor.
I don't think he wants to lose a primary. And I also think retirement's kind of wonderful, Byron, once you get there. And the guy's lost 20 pounds. He looks great with Hannity last night. His job now is not to lose, not to endorse a loser in the Senate or the House, not to lose, and not to lose. He's done so. He got Operation Warp Speed, China. He's got the Abraham Accords. He's got the tax cuts. He's got the blue collar. He's got a lot to talk about. Just don't lose.
So I think the correct position, the winning position from one of these Republican frontrunners, and I think all of them are going to adopt it, is to just build on Trump's accomplishments, praise Trump's accomplishments, build on them, but don't promise a sort of a return to Trump, and don't try to be Trump because nobody can. And I believe that he will just end up endorsing them. I mean, we'll see. But I think
don't criticize him. Nikki Haley's already in trouble for doing that. Just leave him alone. And he is the T-Rex of Mar-a-Lago. And you don't want him to come out, right? It's sort of like Jurassic Park. You spent the whole primary trying to get away from the T-Rex and having to fight the Velociraptors. So just don't get T-Rex into the ring. I think that's it. Byron York, always a pleasure. Follow him on Twitter and, of course, at Fox News. I'll be right back, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I was just reading a headline in the Times of Israel. Did a dry procedural Knesset vote just signal the end of the Netanyahu era? Now, I am not a prophet nor the son of the prophet, but he's been in some sharp spots before and he's pulled it out. But I don't know about this one. And when I taught, we used to have a guy call the show, Yoni. You might remember Yoni. And I taught him the prophet, son of a prophet, saying, and he said, that's pretty good. So I've always used it since then. And I think Yoni uses it now, too. But I invented that like 20 years ago. If you're new to the show, if you're a Sparta, Tennessee, I'm not a prophet, son of a prophet is something that goes way back on the Hugh Hewitt Show when I'm trying to qualify a prediction. It looks like it's over for Netanyahu. I'm not a prophet nor the son of the prophet, but it looks like it's over for Netanyahu. Into the opposition they will go. Mike in El Segundo, California. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Hugh. There's two things I remember most about Maxine Waters. One of them was during the April 1992 Los Angeles riots, where she was on the television news telling the rioters to stop rioting in the black neighborhoods and go riot and burn in the white.
I don't think that's true.
I saw it on the news. My wife.
You go look it up and send me a link. I don't think that's true. But what's the second thing you don't remember?
When the riots were going on, we saw that on TV.
Donald Trump saw people that weren't demonstrating after 9/11. People remember stuff that didn't happen. I don't think that happened.
We were watching the news because that's all you could really do. You didn't want to go out driving anywhere during the riot. So anyway, we were watching the news and we saw that. Now, let me tell you the second thing I saw with Maxine Waters. This one's kind of funny and sad at the same time. Maxine Waters had voted to spend $1 billion on something. And this female news reporter asked her sort of playfully, how many zeros are in the number 1 billion? Maxine Waters could not answer the question. She struggled, could not say how many zeros were in
again, a billion. Again, you have to send me tape. There are urban myths and there are urban legends. And Maxine Waters is very smart and has the best political organization. She's hard left. I would never vote for her in 1,000 years. I interviewed her many, many times. I don't believe that first clip. I think you're misremembering that. And I never saw the second, and I don't think you could find either of them online. But I appreciate you listening, Mike. George in Kentucky. Hello, George.
Hey, Hugh. Good morning. I hope you explain something. Help me think something through here. I'm trying to understand as Biden continues and his gang continues to push this fairly far left agenda, when do the moderate left, middle left, center left Democrats, when does that movement step up and start taking a position to say, we're just not going to go with this?
I don't know that there are any left. I don't think there are any left. You got to turn your radio down in the car. All right, so you turn your radio down. And I do not believe there are any moderate Democrats left like Walter Mondale. If there were, the House of Representatives right now has a 6-vote margin for Democrats because of deaths and vacancies and et cetera. So if 3 Democrats vote against Nancy Pelosi, something doesn't carry, just 3. So you would think that out of the 225 Democrats that have been elected in the last year, that there are 3 who would oppose her. You know, the 3 on the far right edge of the party, there aren't any. They're all left-wing socialists. And they're going to get wiped out in the elections in 2022. They're going to get wiped out.
Well, it's just amazing to me to think across all the, in the House, all the people across all the 50 states that are not more moderate Democrats.
There's Joe Manchin and nobody else. Maybe Kristen Sinema in Phoenix, but I'm not sure about that. Really, they're all gone. They're like the dinosaurs.
That's even a larger statement about where we are. Maybe it goes back to Barack Obama making a shift happen so dramatically. But
it is a shift. I was speaking about dinosaurs. I got to ask, speaking of dinosaurs, Dwayne. Hey, Dwayne, are you there? He's not there. Huh? You see, we used to have a bit on the show called Rexophobia, I believe. Did we not have Adam? Do you remember Rexophobia? Was it Rexophobia? Is that what we called it? There was another rexophobic story yesterday about how they hunted in packs. And I've always been against rexophobia. They were just dinosaurs doing dinosaur stuff. And so if they hunted in packs, it's because it was more efficient. I've just always been upset with the people who've got rexophobia. It's not very fair, if you ask me, to be anti-rex. People are all brontosaurus happy, but they're not fair to them. Steve in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hello, Steve. Oh, wait, Steve, you're being screened. We don't know if you're legit. We have to wait till next hour. 1-800-520-1234. Let me remind you, America, the podcast, the Hugh Hewitt, highly concentrated Hugh, 1 hour, the best 1 hour of the 3 every day, and the interview with Hugh Hewitt, available at iTunes, on Spotify. Hundreds of you are signing up every day, and I know why. You want the best in talk radio in the shortest amount of time, and you want the best interviews. You want to learn something? Those are my podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, and the Salem Podcast Network. Stay tuned. More Captain and Tennille for Captain Mark Vandroff in the next hour. Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway, saluting Walter Mondale, dead at the age of 93, the former vice president and senator from Minnesota, well-liked on both sides of the aisle, good man of the center-left. I will never forget watching the Democratic Convention and Walter Mondale looking into the camera saying, I'm going to raise your taxes. I'll tell you they won't. That's a paraphrase. But I thought to myself, that one's done. We won. But he was a good guy. Biggest story of the day in my book is the fact that 1 out of 5 American seniors have not been vaccinated, which means some of you people have to get off the mark, get off your rear ends, and get mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunts, and uncles onto their computer, go over and help them, give them a ride, help them get this thing done. They are the most vulnerable population, and we should be at 100% or 95%. There's some seniors who are not going to get it because of underlying health conditions, I'm sure, but or they're in end-of-life situation, you're not going to bother. But there's just no reason not to be vaccinated if you're a senior. Richard Dawkins is being canceled. The American Humanist Association is withdrawing a, quote, honor from Richard Dawkins. Now, if no one actually knows the award exists, does it matter if it's withdrawn? The American Humanist Association, which was established in 1953, is annually awarded their Humanist of the Year for someone who's an exemplar of humanist values. And I don't know what Richard Dawkins did that was wrong, but he's being canceled. Wall Street Journal reports that strains, sprains, pinched nerves, injuries at home are on the rise. I'll use that for my relieffactor.com segment. Something for my Tom Cotton segment when the senator comes up later. ICPP to stop using illegal alien and assimilation under new Biden administration order. Isn't that predictable? The left always goes for the language. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick, who we mourn his death, died of natural causes. He suffered two strokes during the riot. Previously, it had been thought that the agent with which he was hit, bear spray or something like that, killed him, but apparently not. When the coroner says natural causes is the cause of death, they're not going to convict those people. Wrongful death, different issue. Officer Sitnik's family may have a wrongful death civil suit going, but there's not going to be a prosecution there. Image of Queen grieving alone prompts calls for Britain to revise COVID funeral restrictions. I'm surprised they haven't. They've reopened the pubs, but you can't go to funerals. I don't get that. My guess is it's a bureaucratic oversight. What a surprise. Why the chip shortage is so hard to overcome? A chip shortage? Yep, that's why we don't have as many cars as we need, as many appliances as we need. Meanwhile, amid that chip shortage, we had General Secretary Xi, also the president of Chinese Communist, the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, president of the People's Republic of China, gave a speech yesterday in which he said, and I quote, "No matter how far it develops, China will never seek hegemony, expand, seek spheres of influence, or engage in an arms race." Giving us all a good laugh. Meanwhile, most of the chips in the world are made on Taiwan. They're aggressively threatening Taiwan by repeatedly interfering with their airspace. And that's why Intel and Taiwan Semiconductor are building plants in Doug Ducey's Arizona, which is good. We were left with nothing. Argentina's misery deepens in the pandemic. Look, they had socialism down there forever. That's why the Pope doesn't know anything about economics. And it's why Argentina is suffering. It contracted nearly 10% last year. They owe the IMF $45 billion in debt, and they're socialists. The Czechs are mad at the Russians. This is a little Cold War echo of 1968 before the Prague Spring was crushed by Soviet tanks. Apparently, the Russians have been blowing up things in Czechoslovakia related to arms dealers. I mean, it's a real James Bond movie story. But the big story of the day in Europe is the Super League. No, I've had the phones open for 3 hours and no one's called on the Super League. There's nothing else in the news in Europe. Really, Putin, if he's going to attack Ukraine, he's got between 60 and 100,000 troops on the border right now. If he's going to attack Ukraine, now is the time, because Europe is paralyzed over football. And I'm not kidding you. This is the biggest thing since Brexit. It's bigger than Brexit. I'm pretty sure more people care about the Super League than Brexit. Pretty sure that's the case. Now let me get to rexophobia. For years, I have led the fight against rexophobia from this lonely broadcast station. Whenever I see trite storylines about how bad the T-Rexes were, I call it to the attention. It's just playing into narratives. It's systemic rexophobia everywhere. And the AP contributed to it yesterday with a story that begins, "Tyrannosaurus dinosaurs may not have been the solitary predators as long envisioned, but more like social carnivores such as wolves." I used to have a producer and he would play Jurassic Park during this. "Paleontologists developed the theory while studying a mass Tyrannosaur death site found 7 years ago in the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in southern Utah. All of the T-Rexes were at a convention, apparently, when a meteor hit. And from that, they're just immediately they're jumping to the apparently scary. I mean, how can you be afraid of them? They got the little arms.
So what we're saying is Fauciism has now gone to geology?
The geologists are falling. There's a second rexophobic story. That's a lot of teeth, according to AP, 4 days ago. It's like AP is on a rexophobic binge. One T-Rex seems scary enough. See, right there in the lead. There it is. It's built into the narrative. One T-Rex seems scary enough. Now picture 2.5 billion of them. That's how many of the fierce dinosaur king, again, they're using loaded words here. The fierce dinosaur king probably roamed the earth over a course of a couple of million years.
Probably?
Yeah, I mean, over a couple of million years. Makes it sound like there's a T-Rex at every 7-Eleven. In that era.
With a slight Indian accent. According to Joe Biden.
According to Joe Biden. No, really. It lived over 127,000 generations, the T-Rex, and they lump them all together. And they say they're fierce and they're in packs. I just think now, someone's got to speak up for him.
You know, I know, and everybody listening to the show knows that there is no possible way they could draw that conclusion.
There's no way they fought together. They didn't hunt together.
No.
And didn't these people ever see Jurassic Park?
They have no arms.
What, are they shaking hands? Just because there's a mass extinction site. Now, they might have had conventions like the Teddy Bear Picnic. And again, if I had a producer, we would be playing that right now. The T-Rexes, they got together at the Grand Staircase Escalante, apparently, every other year. Yeah, the T-Rex Picnic. It was like when the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I went to Costa Rica and the HVAC people were there. There were like 1,000 HVAC people in Costa Rica. And I kept saying, it's like the Teddy Bear Picnic. Keep going. Paleontologists developed a theory that while studying a mass tyrannosaur death site found 7 years ago in the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, using geochemical analysis of the bones and rocks. Oh my gosh, these people are from the University of Arkansas. They're from the University of Arkansas. We're going to talk to Cotton about this. Because if the University of Arkansas is shot through with rexophobia, he's got to be on it. Don't you think?
No, you see, they're trying to resurrect the dominance of the T-Rex with this story. The problem is Jurassic Park turned the Velociraptors into the fiercest dinosaurs.
You think that's what it is? All the people who've got rights to T-Rex are upset?
All the T-Rex rights holders are going, wait a minute. We're supposed to be the king of the forest
We're the king of the dinosaurs. Well, that's what they were having a convention about, obviously.
We hunted in packs.
They should not have gone. Obviously, I'm not going anywhere near the Grand Staircase Escalante. CJ Box, by the way, he should go there with Joe Pickett. Did you see that they cast Joe Pickett?
I did see they cast
Joe Pickett. They did not name the judge or the public defender, for that matter.
No, they haven't.
The judge should be J.K. Simmons.
I think my role is the guy that wears the red shirt on Star Trek.
I saw they cast it, and there's just nothing there about the judge. And I think J.K. Simmons, his phone should be ringing right now. They need a judge for the new... That C.J. Box show is going to be the most popular show.
You want J.K. Simmons to be you?
Yeah. Yeah, he went to Ohio State.
He has no hair.
Well, that's okay. The judge isn't exactly looking like me either. Small, dark, and twitchy, remember?
That's a brilliant description.
Well, I want the full casting, and I want to know when it's going to be on. It's going to be the most popular show in history. Do you think we get to go to see a filming?
Have you? Oh, we could. We might, actually.
Should we broadcast from the set?
I think if CJ wants future plugs for the book, maybe.
But, you know.
We could broadcast from the set.
He's going to want to broadcast from Yellowstone. I'm not going near there, especially after I read this about a mass T-Rex convention that ended up being a mass extinction event. What happened at the Grand Staircase Escalante T-Rex convention?
Well, what happened there stays there.
What? Apparently, very much so. Don't go anywhere, America. T-Rex, we are for you. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined by United States Senator Tom Cotton of the state of Arkansas. Good morning, Senator Cotton.
Good morning, Hugh. It's good to be back on with you.
Now, I must tell you, Senator, the University of Arkansas has crossed a red line. This show has long been a bastion of anti-rexophobia, and here I find a study by the University of Arkansas paleontologist group of researchers out at the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument suggesting that T-Rexes traveled in packs. I think this is simply more systemic rexophobia, and I'm shocked to find it at the University of Arkansas.
I was wondering why I got the Jurassic Park bump music cue, but it was an interesting story. I just saw the headline this morning as I was heading out. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I look forward to it.
Well, there's also a 2014 Bureau of Land Management paleontologist named Alan Titus who named this site the Rainbows and Unicorns Quarry. I think that's a federal issue deserving of some oversight as well.
I think I'll let my friends out in the Rocky Mountain States handle that fight.
Well, this rexophobia is systemic, and your university is contributing to it. All right, I got some other stories for you. Number one, Russia moves troops near Ukraine. According to ABC News, between 68,000 and 100,000 Russian troops have now moved to the border of Ukraine. What is going on there? What is the message that President Biden and Secretary Blinken ought to be delivering to President Putin?
Well, unfortunately, Hugh, Joe Biden has already sent a message of weakness to Vladimir Putin from day one. His policy has been, in effect, speak loudly and carry a twig. I know Joe Biden likes to beat his chest about being tough on Russia, but just look at what's happened to Russia policy since January 20th. First off, we gave Vladimir Putin his number one foreign policy priority, which is a clean extension of the New START nuclear arms control treaty, a treaty that is badly one-sided against the United States. Now we're giving him his new number one priority, which was his number two priority, which is completion of the gas pipeline that runs underwater into Germany, which will hook Western Europe even more deeply onto Russian gas, meaning that they won't be willing to stand up to Vladimir Putin and Russia on their eastern flank. And then just look at some of the other things we've done to you. Joe Biden acknowledged last week that the sanctions he imposed were half measures, that he could have done more, but he didn't want to. And at the same time, he invited Vladimir Putin to join him at some ritzy European capital this summer for a summit. And just last week, we also canceled the deployment of a couple of our ships into the Black Sea at the very same time that Vladimir Putin is building up his army and his naval presence on the North Black Sea coast of Ukraine and on the eastern border of Ukraine. Buildups that never happened during the Trump era. So Vladimir Putin, I think, sensed his weakness, and I hope that Joe Biden will signal him that we won't tolerate any kind of incursion into Ukraine, on the Crimea further, or on the Black Sea coast of Ukraine.
Now, what is the appropriate response should aggression against Ukraine occur, Senator Cotton? They are not members of NATO, so there is no mutual defense agreement in place, as would occur with Poland or Romania. But what about if they come in with these 100,000 troops are not there for exercise?
Well, Hugh, we don't know exactly why they are there, but I'll just say that I always take something of a jaundiced eye of the assurances of the so-called experts that a dictator like Vladimir Putin is not intending aggression. You know, there's a long history of these of bad predictions of dictators building up military forces and then just conducting exercises. So whatever Vladimir Putin's intentions are, we know that he now has the forces built up in the eastern border of Ukraine that he could strike further into the Donbas. Or perhaps he could do what many people suspected he might do in 2015, which is invade into the Black Sea coast city of Mariupol to try to establish a land bridge and total the Sea of Azov, which is an important shipping lane for the Ukraine. One thing that we could simply do is to end the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Congress passed bipartisan sanctions last year that would enable the administration to do so. Those sanctions are sitting on the shelf right now, Hugh. There's no reason that Joe Biden can't impose those or threaten to impose them if there is that kind of incursion into Ukraine. Yet for some reason, he refuses to do so. I suspect it's because he wants to curry favor with his friends in Germany and the rest of Western Europe. He doesn't want to be viewed as too tough or aggressive on our allies the way his predecessor was. But sometimes you got to be tough to stand up to people like Vladimir Putin.
Well, without revealing anything that's classified, does the United States also have knowledge of where his billions are parked and where his buddies' billions are parked? And can that money not be disintermediated if they invade Ukraine again?
We have the ability, Hugh, to identify some of the ill-gotten gains of Vladimir Putin and all of his crony oligarchs. But I think probably not the full extent of it. I mean, they've been stealing the wealth of the Russian people for 20 years and hiding it for 20 years. Some of it's probably burrowed away in some pretty dark corners around the globe. But yes, we and our allies in Western Europe do have the ability to reach out and touch lots and lots of people who are closely tied to Vladimir Putin and impose real pain on them. I mean, look, I mean, there's some simple things you could do, Hugh. Imagine if they stood together and just revoked the visas, not only for a lot of these Russian oligarchs, but for their family members as well. Almost every one of them have kids in fancy Western schools. Their wives have apartments in Paris and London. Their mistresses go shopping in Rome and have yachts on the Mediterranean. Imagine stopping all of that. I bet those oligarchs would get an earful, wouldn't they?
The Achilles heel of oligarchies is there aren't a lot of them. It's pretty easy to find out who you have to sanction, and hopefully that's on the table. I have a quote to read to you. General Secretary Xi gave a speech yesterday at an economic forum in China wherein he said, quote, no matter how far it develops, China will never seek hegemony, expand, seek spheres of influence, or engage in an arms race. What do you think, Senator Cotton?
Well, I saw that they said that at some kind of international forum, because at first I thought he was doing it as a stand-up comedy routine.
Yeah.
Look, you don't have to take Xi Jinping's words at face value at that forum. All you have to do is look at how China has deployed its national resources over the last 20 years, and especially over the last 10 years under Xi, and also what he says in front of his Politburo cronies. Of course, what they expect to do is establish hegemony. Xi, like many Chinese leaders going back centuries, views China as the so-called Middle Kingdom, the ruler of all things under the sun, and that the countries, especially on his periphery, but in the end, all around the world, should be nothing but vassal states to China. And that's exactly what they've tried to do through their economic aggression against American workers and our businesses for decades. It's exactly what they're trying to do to countries on their periphery, like Taiwan, and it's what they do to their own people. So now, I do not think that you can take Xi Jinping's words at face value yesterday, Hugh.
Now, they withdrew the Blue Bottom fleet from the Whitsun Reef as the Teddy Roosevelt Carrier Task Force grew close. What does that tell you, and what should we do in response to that learned experience?
Yeah, so, Hugh, that the Blue Water fleet, or the Blue Fleet that China has, is a kind of quasi-naval, quasi-Coast Guard force they use to harass the smaller countries on their periphery, especially in the South China Sea, to establish, you know, creeping control over all of those islands, whether they're natural or artificial. You shouldn't be surprised, though, that if a U.S. aircraft carrier comes through, that all those boats scatter. It's kind of, you know, like little pests being driven away by a giant predator. But it's going to take that kind of resolve and presence in the South China Sea to ensure that China doesn't establish control over that entire vital waterway.
Well, that brings up the defense budget that a friend in the White House said, look, we increased defense spending. It did not keep pace with inflation. Will your committee and will appropriations be plussing it up?
Well, I certainly hope that we will increase Joe Biden's appallingly small defense budget. As you say, Hugh, it doesn't even keep pace with the inflation that Joe Biden's policies are helping accelerate. But even if it did, even if it just matched inflation, Hugh, the defense budget is the one part of our federal government where you can't have a strategy based on your budget. You have to have a budget based on your strategy. And given the growing threats we face from China in particular, but also a newly confident Iran and continued aggression from Russia, we need to continue to increase our defense budget. And that's everything from our nuclear forces, as we're about to have testimony from the commander of Strategic Command in a couple hours today in the Senate, as well as all of the cutting-edge aircraft and ships and the next generation of fighting vehicles and long-range cannons that our Army needs as well.
Last question for you, Senator Cotton. This is from the Washington Post, Maria Sacchetti, this morning. Quote, the Biden administration has ordered U.S. immigration enforcement agencies to stop using terms such as alien, illegal alien, and assimilation when referring to immigrants in the United States, a rebuke of terms widely used under the Trump administration. I might add, those having covered Los Angeles for 10 years on PBS, it's a term widely used within PBS and basically widely used everywhere. And it was long before Donald Trump entered politics. What do you think of this?
Well, it's a term that's widely used throughout the United States code book. You cannot write about immigration law without using the term alien, because that is exactly what non-Americans are described as in the federal laws. And in fact, our old friend Dick Durbin has been sponsoring something called the DREAM Act for a couple decades now. Guess what the A in DREAM Act stands for? Yes, it's a terrible embarrassment to our friends on the left. A in DREAM Act stands for alien. And if an alien is not here legally, what does that make them? An illegal alien. So Joe Biden create all the speech police and write the speech codes that he wants. But in the end, we call a spade a spade. And an illegal alien is an illegal alien.
Well, Senator Durbin, the Mr. Magoo of the Senate, is not exactly going to be redrawing the DREAM Act. Now, I am just so curious, though. Assimilation is the one that really has my eyebrows up, Senator. Assimilation has been a long-honored tradition that every ethnic group in the United States, it doesn't mean giving up your cultural distinctiveness. It doesn't mean abandoning your love of in my case, things Irish and Scots. It means just becoming part of America. To assimilate is not to be dissolved in a big vat of acid. What in the world is that all about?
Yeah, I mean, assimilation has been the longstanding goal of not only our immigration policy, but of new immigrants. Immigrants who fled land that oftentimes where they had no political freedom, no civil rights, and they wanted to come here and they wanted to assimilate into America, in particular into our political traditions. As you say, that doesn't mean abandoning your heritage. You know, we've had large-scale Irish immigration going back to the 1840s, and we still have celebrations on St. Patrick's Day. You know, we have Columbus Day celebrating the heritage and contributions of Italian Americans. But of course, those previous generations of immigrants have assimilated into American society, especially our political traditions, and that should be the goal for all new immigrants as well.
Senator Cotton, good to talk to you, but I hope you get a call in the University of Arkansas. This war against the T-Rexes has just got to stop, and it's systemic at your university. And the rainbows and unicorns, that's another three strikes and you're out over at the Bureau of Land Management. Senator, thank you. Welcome back, America. It's you at Ted Lasso Music, because the Super League is the biggest story in the world, and we've had the phones open for 3 hours, and we finally have somebody who cares. James in Houston. Do you care about the Super League story?
Somewhat. I think it's interesting because, you know, they're going to form this league with 20 teams, but they've only named 12. So where are the other teams going to come from?
Highest bidder. You
know, some of these owners are Americans. Like Fenway Group owns Liverpool, and Glazer owns Manchester United. I wonder if they're not going to try to make this a world league almost.
Well, the Super League should be. I mean, the Justice League doesn't just patrol North America, after all. And the Fantastic Four went after Dr. Doom wherever he was. So I think if you're going to have a Super League, you got to be in Russia.
Worse than fascism is the FIFA Mafia. So they're the ones that really control this. You know, they're going to try to clamp down and suspend all the players that are on all those teams that are pulling out from the World Cup.
So it's really an amazing economic story. Well, I've got you, though. What do you think of the rexophobia, the sudden outburst of rexophobia around the world?
Oh, it's terrible. Having been to Utah and seen Rex personally, you know, up close, he's just a paper tiger.
Really? That is exactly, for years I've been arguing, and now they're making fun of the fact that they went to a convention, got hit with a meteor. The Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument, they're at, you know, it's where they all got killed at one time, and they're suggesting that it be called the Rainbows and Unicorns Quarry. What do you think of that?
It would be apropos because the colors are just like that. No question.
I'm telling you that the ongoing assault against T-Rex has its roots in Jurassic Park's 1993 release that scared kids, and since that time I've followed it. Just 3 days ago, I mean, the mass fossil site may prove T-Rex lived in packs, which is simply not believable, but they refer to it as a ferocious Tyrannosaurus dinosaur. But then this one says one Tyrannosaurus Rex seems scary enough. Now picture 2.5 billion of them. That's how many of the fierce, there's that word again, dinosaur king probably roamed Earth over a course of a couple of million years. I just don't buy it, James. I'm not buying it.
I'm not buying it either.
All right, good. I'm glad to hear. It's a united front. If we all stand up against this, we can defeat. Now, this study that talks about 2.5 billion, this didn't come out of the University of Arkansas. This came out of Cal Berkeley, which is what I would expect out of Cal Berkeley, coming up with 2.5 billion T-Rexes to ruin your sleep. But the University of Arkansas is definitely the folks behind the social carnivore and the T-Rex picnic theory. The new Utah site is the third mass Tyrannosaur grave site that's been discovered in North America. In the old days, they used to say the glaciers pushed them together. The original research needs to be done, according to Christy Curry Rogers, a biology professor at McAllister College. who wasn't involved in the research but reviewed the finding Monday. Well, I'm reviewing the finding on Tuesday, and I think this is ridiculous and just part of the ongoing effort to isolate and de-dinosaurize the T-Rex. I think it's pretty obvious to me that the Bureau of Land Management is also part of the deep anti-T-Rex state and needs to be resisted. I'll be back tomorrow, America. I got to tell you that if you folks out there want to join me in standing up for the T-Rex, contact Senator Cotton, who was pretty much throwing up a wall around the University of Arkansas today, and their researchers. And if they're going to go sending teams out to Utah to declare all sorts of new stuff about the T-Rex hunting in packs, that's just that's the most transparent attempt at alienation, anti-assimilation, de-dinosaurification. Kids everywhere like T-Rexes.
They hunted in packs.
They hunted in packs.
You could have a whole pack of them. They still don't have any arms.
No, and what are they going to do? They're going to bump into each other. Do you think they get along well?
No.
No. What is wrong with the University of Arkansas?
It's like saying China and Russia hunt in packs.
That's it. That's exactly what it is like that. It's like arguing that the Browns and the Steelers fans hunt in packs. It doesn't happen. Sometimes scientists, paleontologists, I'm not going to say that they need publicity every now and then. They got high on Jurassic Park for a while. Everybody wanted to know a paleontologist. They got invited to all the faculty parties for about 10 years there during Jurassic Park 1 through 44.
Then they got all Fauciized.
They got Fauciized, and then all of a sudden no one's talking to them, so we come up with T-Rex packs. Not buying it, America. I'm here on the wall for you. You need me on this wall. T-Rex and me. We'll be back tomorrow on the next Hugh Hewitt Show.